Ever wonder, like, how a parent messing up or a co-parent, needing disability benefits, how all that, like, plays into child support calculations?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, we're diving deep today into a Louisiana case you guys need to know, Anderson v. Anderson.
Oh yeah, Anderson v. Anderson. That's a big one. It's interesting how it tackles a couple big questions. What happens when a parent's income is lower because of choices they made? And then how does the court look at disability benefits when figuring out support? It's a case full of like nuggets of wisdom for anyone going into family law.
Absolutely. So we're going to break down this whole story of Warren and Ann Anderson's divorce and then all the legal back and forth over child support and spousal support after Warren lost his job. They had three kids and Ann was on disability. So as future lawyers, understanding how courts decide someone's earning potential versus what they're making right now and how public assistance plays into these support disputes is like the foundation of family law.
It's really important, yeah. In this case, Anderson v. Anderson, it gives us a clear look at these messy situations.
Okay, so let's paint the picture here. Warren was a nurse anesthetist. We know that's a job with a lot of earning
Oh,
potential,
for sure. Yeah.
and was disabled.
Yes.
So the legal battle began when Anne filed for divorce. She wanted child support and spousal support from Warren.
That's what kicked off all these disputes that we're going to dig into.
Okay, so now the thing that really set this whole fight off was Warren losing his job. This wasn't just some like bad economy thing, or a company downsizing. This was directly because of drug abuse.
Oh, wow.
And that's a key detail that the court zeroed in on. He got caught stealing narcotics,
Oh, no.
failed a drug test.
No.
So,
You can't do that.
not good.
No, not at all.
So that's where this question of, personal responsibility comes in. Should you get to pay less support just because you lost your job in a really bad way?
Yeah, that's a great question. And after he got fired, Warren went to the court and asked them to lower his child and spousal support payments. He said his job situation had changed a lot.
So we have Ann who wants support, and Warren saying he shouldn't have to pay as much because he lost his job. But the way he lost it matters a lot.
It does.
So what happened in court?
So this case, it went through a bunch of steps, like a lot of these disputes do. First, there was a hearing officer who said they should lower the spousal support Warren was paying for now, but they said no to lowering the child support. Then Warren got a new job as a registered nurse, making less money. He went back to court again to try to lower both types of support.
Of course.
The hearing officer said lower the spousal support again, but still said no to lowering child support.
Okay.
So Warren didn't like that.
Of course not.
He challenged it, and the trial court made the final decision. They agreed with not lowering child support, but did lower the spousal support.
So basically, the court had to figure out two big legal questions.
Yes.
What exactly were the legal issues that this Anderson case was trying to solve?
The main one was, can child support be based on a parent's potential income, not just what they're making right now? In Warren's case, could they use his earning power as a nurse anesthetist, even though he wasn't doing that anymore?
And the other big question had to do with Anne's finances.
Should her Social Security disability benefits count as income when figuring out Warren's child support?
Those are the two key questions that Anderson v. Anderson really tackles.
They are, and it sets a really important precedent for Louisiana courts when they deal with these complicated family law issues.
Let's dig into the court's thought process here, starting with this idea of voluntary underemployment. What was the court's stance on that?
So they were very clear about this in the majority opinion. They said that Warren losing his higher-paying job as a nurse anesthetist was a direct result of his actions, his drug abuse. Led to the stealing, led to the failed drug test. And because of that direct connection between what he did and his lower earning power, the court said this is voluntary underemployment. So this is where you see the legal system trying to stop people from getting out of paying support because they created their own problems. They make you think about what you could be earning, not just what you are earning.
That's a good point. So when they decided it was voluntary underemployment, how did that affect Warren's child support?
So because they said he was voluntarily underemployed, they could impute income to him.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means they could base his child support on what he could make as a nurse anesthetist, the job he had, the job he was good at, not on the smaller amount he was making as a registered nurse.
So it stops a parent from purposely making less money to get out of paying support for their kids.
Yeah.
Was there like a specific law that backed up this decision?
There was. They used Louisiana Revised Statute 9.3156B. That law clearly says when you're figuring out child support income includes potential income if someone is voluntarily unemployed or underemployed. That's the basis for saying his earning power as a nurse anesthetist mattered.
So you said voluntary a lot. How does the court actually decide if someone not having a job or having a lower paying job is really voluntary? What are they looking for?
That's where the idea of good faith comes in. The court looks at whether the person is unemployed or underemployed on purpose to avoid paying child support. So with Warren, they saw his drug abuse, which led to him losing his job, as a lack of good faith. He basically hurt himself financially. It makes you think, what else could a court see as bad faith that leads to voluntary underemployment?
Right. So it's not just about not having a job. It's about why you don't have a job.
Exactly.
So the court was basically saying you can't create your own money problems and then expect to pay less child support.
Exactly. The court was very clear about the difference between truly losing your job for reasons you can't control, like a recession, or a company closing, versus you making bad choices that lower your income.
Okay, let's switch gears to the second big legal issue. Anne's Social Security disability benefits.
Right.
Did the court say those benefits should be counted as income when they figured out child support?
Their answer was very clear on this.
Okay.
They said her Social Security disability benefits, specifically SSI, supplemental security income, that is not income for child support.
Okay.
They're protecting public assistance, which makes sense. The goal is to make sure vulnerable people have a safety net. You don't want to take away those benefits for child support.
Right. So was there a law that the court used for this decision too?
Yes. They looked at Louisiana Revised Statute 9.315 CDI. That law specifically says you don't include benefits from public assistance programs when calculating gross income for child support. That includes SSI. So Anne's benefits were safe.
So that seems pretty clear cut. What was the reasoning behind that law? Why exclude those benefits?
The main reason is that these public assistance benefits are supposed to cover the basic needs of the person getting them.
Right.
In this case, Anne. She was declared disabled by Social Security. So the law recognizes that this money is for her well-being, not for paying child support.
To make sure we really get this, there were some really specific parts of these laws that the court relied on to make these decisions.
Yes.
Can you highlight those again?
For sure. When it came to voluntary unemployment, they went back to Louisiana Revised Statute 9.315C6, which says income includes potential income for someone who is voluntarily unemployed or underemployed. That's why Warren's earning potential as a nurse anesthetist was part of the equation.
Okay. And how about for disability benefits?
They use Louisiana Revised Statute 9.315CDI, which states that gross income for child support does not include benefits received from public assistance programs, including SSI. That's the legal shield protecting Anne's benefits.
And as we talked about, the court basically said Warren wasn't acting in good faith, so they could consider what he could be making while Anne's disability status and that specific law protected her benefits from being called income for child support.
That's a great summary. The way the court interpreted these laws and used them was crucial to the outcome of the case, both for what Warren had to pay and what Anne got to keep.
So let's zoom out a bit. What are the big takeaways from this case?
I think there are two main things to remember.
Okay.
One, parents can't intentionally lower their income, especially by doing something wrong or not acting in good faith, and expect their child support to go down automatically.
Right.
Courts can look at what they could be earning. Two, public assistance benefits like SSI don't count as income for child support. That money is for the person who needs it.
So for someone going into family law, how does this case affect them in the real world?
It brings up some important practical stuff. When you're negotiating settlements for divorce and child support, this idea of voluntary underemployment can be a big sticking point. You have to really investigate why a parent's income changed. Like we saw with Warren, if you want to argue for imputing income, you need proof that they lost their job because of something they did wrong.
And it also shows how important it is to understand different types of job changes, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Getting laid off is different from losing your job because you were doing drugs.
Exactly. The court sees a difference between involuntarily losing your job, which might mean you should pay less support, versus voluntarily being underemployed because you're not trying hard enough or you're doing things you shouldn't.
Right.
And you have to know how courts figure out what that imputed income should be. They might look at the parents' work history, their education, their skills, what people in their field usually make.
So if you had to give one piece of advice to our listeners who are getting ready to be lawyers,
yeah,
what would it be based on this Anderson case?
If you're dealing with child support, always really look into your client's job history and document anything that shows they might not be acting in good faith if they're trying to get out of paying support. Understand why their income changed.
Yeah.
And be clear on what's considered income and what's protected public assistance when you're advising your clients.
So just to recap our deep dive into Anderson v. Anderson.
Yes.
We saw how the Louisiana court dealt with voluntary underemployment, especially when it's the parents' fault.
Right.
They made it clear that courts can use earning potential to figure out support.
Yep.
We also saw how the law protects public assistance benefits, like SSI, from being used in child support calculations.
Yeah, because that money is for the recipient to cover their basic needs.
This case really shows how important the facts of someone's job situation are and how Louisiana's laws guide these really important family law decisions.
Absolutely. They work together to guide these decisions.
This good faith thing is interesting.
It is.
Makes you think about what else a court might consider voluntary underemployment.
Mm.
And then the fact that SSI is protected is great for the person getting it. But it makes you think about the bigger financial picture for families with disabled parents, especially when you think about the kids' needs, too.
That's a really good point.
It's something to think about as you study law.
Definitely.
Cases like Anderson v. Anderson give you such a good look at how family law works in the real world.
Yes, they do.
And you'll need to understand cases like this to deal with complicated support disputes when you're lawyers.
Absolutely. Essential information.
Well said.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
See you later.